And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by one of my several Power Ranger co-hosts, this time around, the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
What's going on, everybody?
And of course, Brian, you get the Sentai side of things, correct? Unlike in Power Rangers, where in the Sentai for Geo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger is a guy.
Yep. It's a boy named Boy. Go figure.
Yeah. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded beforehand, and we actually had to redo the intros and the outros. So if it's a little disjointed, we do apologize. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. And today we're knocking out another two episodes. We're talking about the Spitflower and Life's a Masquerade. And let's just hop right into it with the Spitfire, with everyone's favorite segment, in my mind, the quick run through on the Spitflower. So we start off with Tommy and Kim showing up at the juice bar and Ernie telling them he needs to head out for some supplies. But he does say it's okay to work on their float while he's away. Bulk and Skull come along, and Bulk's allergies are really bad around the flowers, which gets Rita to start thinking, just don't hurt yourself, I think, therefore I get a headache. Kim explains that the flowers are being recycled. Then putties appear. Haha, of course. While Tommy is fighting them off, one of the putties destroys the float model. The others show up, and Kim is just outright devastated. And you're right, Rita. You're right, Jason. Rita is a witch. Rita is a witch. Speaking of Rita, she wants a flower monster. Finster then, in turn, creates the Spitflower monster. The Rangers think on how they can help Kim cheer up Kim. Zordon needs the Rangers. They arrive at to the command center to learn about the Spitflower. The Rangers morph into action and are attacked by the energy-draining flowers right off the bat. Rita takes the opportunity to grow her monster. Meanwhile, Tommy is working on something when he gets the call to action. Jason calls for Dragonzord power and the Dinozord power. Jason then calls for the Mega Dragonzord transformation as the battle continues to ensue. However, the flower power is too much for the Rangers. Zordon retreats the Rangers back to the command center. Bulk and Skull are attacked by the flowers, which is a great moment when Bulk looks at the one flower and it's just like trying to give it some bitey love. The Rangers see there's a weak spot and aim for it with Kim's power bow. However, Tommy is told to sit out this fight. You on the bench, son. You can't be in action when everyone else is. You have to sit out now. The Rangers were able to take down the Spitflower. Tommy and Alpha were working on something in private. Rita is angry and takes it out on the others, just like a good boss would do. Just take it out on the others. That's just how things are done. Why Rita will never be a great leader. Back at the juice bar, Jason and Zach spar while discussing the monster they fought. And the Rangers watch the parade, Billy with binoculars for some odd reason. And then Tommy surprises Kim with restoring her parade float as Kim is ecstatic. Brian,
yes,
it's time for notes.
It's notes time.
It's notes time. Get those notes going.
Okay, so first and foremost, like you said, the episode starts with Ernie kind of like having to roll out for a second, but Tommy and Kim can work on the float, and I don't know how early in the morning it was, but like he didn't lock up or anything.
Like, yeah, how were Bulk and Skull able to come in there?
Yeah, like, I imagine that he would probably just be like, yeah, no. You guys are cool. You two, out my store.
out my youth center.
Yeah. Get out of my youth center and or juice bar now.
How did you get in here and destroy this thing?
Yeah. By the way, I did hear an interesting fan theory that, like, Ernie he might be Zordon in human form. And I was like, that's no, probably not, but
no,
but yeah, kind of an interesting little theory, but, they're working on this float that, you know, Kim's trying to get into the what is it, the World Peace Parade?
Yeah.
And it's got like this tiger that looks like it's taxidermied on top of it.
Well, it is a model and it's a float. It probably was taxidermied. That's probably why it was so easy when the putty destroyed it.
There were, I don't know what parade they got footage of, but that was a pretty big parade. Like, was that like anything that was happening in like Anaheim, by the way? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't know.
This show, but, and I get the irony of like calling out like them using stock footage on a show like Power Rangers, sure, but like, I'm just curious, like, where they got that footage of the parade, because that was,
I don't know. It's probably something that Fox owned.
Probably.
Because obviously it was airing on Fox. But one of the things, though, is that to keep in mind is that I think this is the first time that the putties actually attacked inside the Juice Bar Youth Center.
Yeah. It just showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah, so this is the first time the putties or a monster or anything in that nature have actually showed up inside. Like, you've had monsters appear outside the Juice Bar Youth Center, but this is the first time they've actually entered, which will actually be something we talk about in the next episode in the next segment, because, you know, first it's the putties, mm-hmm. then you do actually get a monster, although the way that monster was a little bit different, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
What else do you got about the spit flower?
Okay, so let's see. Yeah, so I do have notes here. So, yeah, it was kind of heartbreaking to see Kim, you know, like, just devastated. But part of me was like, what was it? She's saying that the float was due that day and that she wasn't able to get flowers in time. And I was like, isn't Costco right down the road, though?
Was like, there a Costco at the time?
You can, like, I don't know. Like, I know that you can't just, you know, 1-800-Flowers on your phone or something in 93, sure. But, like, certainly you can go get more flowers in time, right? I mean, it's just a model. Like, you don't have a schematic. You don't have a photo. You don't have any kind of, like, notes backing up what this thing looks like. Like, why are you so devastated? I get that you were working your butt off on this thing. But, like, certainly you've got to have a backup. This is why you take notes. This is why you back up. This is why you do stuff, Kim. To make sure that, like, hey, if, like, worse comes to worse, I can still submit my idea. Yeah. So I don't get why she
but
was
not only that, but hard. here's the kicker, though. The model has to be in that day for a parade that is happening the very next day.
The very, like...
Like, how does that work? How do you make a float off of a model within 24 hours?
I don't think time flows the way that time in Power Rangers, the way that it flows normally for us, Mike. I don't. Cause you're right though. It's like, wouldn't that take at least a month to do?
Yeah.
That would take at least a month. Cause like, I mean, I've never built a, you know, float or a model or anything like that, but like, good God, that thing's gotta be, I don't know. Like, I'm imagining 1 month, 2 months top to be able to do that. So,
oh, yeah.
You have time, Kim. You're fine.
Yeah, you good. These made up timelines, they just don't work out here.
They don't add up. The time does not add up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see here. This was an episode where I was kind of because honestly, the next episode is the one I really took notes on. But this one, I was just kind of, you know, watching it. There was one little bit that I thought was hilarious, and it was when Bulk and Skull were running away from the flowers, and I noticed that flower that was like opening its mouth was literally a scrunchie with like those like 50 cent vampire teeth inside of it.
Yeah, that flower was trying to get some action with Bulk big time. Come on, Bulk, you know you want to kiss me. Yeah,
feed me, Seymour.
So, but
I'm not certain why the Mega Dragon Zord is in this episode, but Tommy had to sit out, by the way. I'm honestly not certain. I think, again, was it just, it's probably the footage that they had of, like, you know, the
it's definitely about footage that's available, because also keep in mind, like, the reason you don't have a lot of Green Ranger footage is actually because of the fact that you have Burai in Zoo Ranger. Mm-hmm. He is actually contained or confined to a room. And every time he leaves the room, his yep. aging accelerates. So as he's in the room, he's fine. He's
fine.
But when he leaves, so he can only leave in short spurts.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's why you have the thing. It's like, well, that's why Tommy's got to sit it out because of what, you know, is going on with the actual footage that they're using from the Sentai.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, it makes sense. But,
well, of course it made sense. I said it.
All right.
Just easy. Like, whatever, Mike.
easy, child. Yeah, the episode ends with Billy sitting at the bar again, like you said, with binoculars. Which I was like, okay, we get it. You're a dork. But this was this was one of the first times that you really saw like Tommy and Kimberly like openly flirting with each other. Like, this was kind of the start of that romance.
Well, not really true. Not really true, because Green with Evil Part 1, before Tommy was captured,
yeah.
you kind of saw it a little bit there, too.
Right. Well, fair enough. But then, like, this is like...
It wasn't until post.
Yeah. Like, now he's part of the team, and now, like, this is the, you know, new
reality. Doesn't Zordon have rules? Doesn't Zordon have rules about dating within the Rangers?
It's not an office place, man. It's not like, you know, like, sorry, there's no, you know, inner office relationships allowed. I can't imagine. I really can't imagine, you know, like you can't date that other ranger. I mean, it's, I think
try tell that to a teenager. Rangers, like,
Jason and Trini have a fling for a while.
Yeah, tell that to a couple teenagers. Yeah, so but all yeah, right.
See how fast they laugh in your face.
Yeah. But so with that, the Spitflower, it clocked in at a total of 19 minutes and 56 seconds and it got a 7.2 rating on IMDb. So with that said, we're going to move on to the next one. Now, interesting fact. When we do these reviews and we talk about these episodes, we'd work off of the DVDs. However, we should note that airing-wise, Gung Ho was actually aired next after Spitflower, but on the DVD comes after Life's a Masquerade, which is why we're doing Life's a Masquerade this episode, and we'll be doing Gung Ho in the next episode.
Just a brief note. Sorry, you're doing the DVD. I'm actually doing Netflix, and it's running off of the DVD listing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Gung Ho was the day before Life's a Masquerade. But on the DVD, it's Life's a Masquerade followed by Gung Ho. Now, interestingly, Gung Ho, I'm putting this out there now, and we'll talk about it again on the next episode when I'm joined by Sasha. But Gung Ho has a 7.7 rating. Life's a Masquerade is actually the beginning of a little downfall in the ratings for Power Rangers for a little bit.
Interesting.
So it'll be an interesting thing. I'll let you know what the score is in a little bit. But first, it's now time for everyone's favorite segment. In my mind, it's the quick run through of Life's a Masquerade. Which starts at the juice bar. Ernie is sending out marching orders for the costume party. Of course, some hijinks lead to a bucket falling on Bulk. Finster has created a super putty and a Frankenstein monster. We now see the Rangers in their costumes and then see Bulk and Skull try on some costumes of their own. Not gonna lie, Bulk makes a very convincing Elvis. He really does. Back at the juice bar, it is party time, baby, and Zach is just getting rejected by Angela like it's 1993. And Bulk and Skull comes as, well, themselves, because they're not the smartest bulbs in the bunch. Alpha shows up, and so does Rita's monster. Finster's still working on the super putty. Alpha gets all the chicks, and Zach is jealous of the machine man. Then the Frankenstein monster keeps trying to get to the Rangers, but keeps getting thwarted by the party. Bulk and Skull tick off the monster, and Billy follows them as they leave. Good Sherlocking there, good old Billy. Rita wants her super putty, but Billy triggers an alarm and faces the monster. Rita, of course, caused the ground to split, and a Rita toy on a ball of clay rises from the ground. Billy informs the others and go to Zordon for more information. Meanwhile, Tommy gets attacked by putties. The Rangers morph into action to take on the monster. Rita makes Frankenstein grow, to which the Rangers call their Zords. The Rangers form the Megazord, and the long battle continues. Tommy finally finishes off the putties and morph into action. The Megazord still taking a pounding with Tommy nowhere in sight. Oh, wait. Nope. There he is. About time, too. Though Frankenstein is holding his own pretty well. Mega Dragonzord power time. Frankenstein still holding strong, but the power staff does the trick as it literally puts a hole right through Frankenstein. And then back at the party, Alpha is still a hit, and the costume winner is, well, duh, Alpha. And then Tommy shows up as Frankenstein for the party. And that was Life's a Masquerade. Brian. Nope.
So let me go ahead and read you what the first thing I wrote down here. Because by this point, I was really starting. And again, mind you, this is before they were trying on costumes. So I was really starting to get annoyed with Bulk and Skull. So what I wrote here was, the youth center is getting ready for a costume party. Bulk and Skull, ... happen. they happen. So let's see. Billy, like you said, is Sherlock Holmes. Trini is a Native American princess. Kim is a fairy tale princess. Zach is dressed like an Egyptian pharaoh, and Jason is dressed for the Ren Faire. I believe. And Tommy doesn't have his costume ready yet for reasons. I think at this point he was probably just like, yeah, no, I gotta go. He was probably playing it off like, yeah, I got a costume. It's really cool. Let me, you know, go get it. And he's like, crap, I don't have a costume. What am I going to do? I will admit, I think that one of the best parts of the episode was Bulk and Skull trying on costumes. And then like that part where they were like, Bulk was refusing to be the butt end of the horse was pretty funny.
Yeah. I like the Elvis. Like, yeah. Paul Schreier, the actor who plays Bulk, does a pretty convincing Elvis impersonation.
Yeah. He was very, like, they both did a really good Elvis. Like, obviously, you know.
Well, yeah, Jason Narvi, you know, I like how Jason Narvi as Skull was like, I'll be young Elvis and you'll be essentially fat Elvis.
He didn't say fat Elvis. He said old Elvis.
Yeah. But you knew what he meant, though. Well, if you're an adult watching the show, you know what he meant.
Yeah. I'll be young Elvis that was in the army, and you'll be the Elvis that shot the TV and died on the toilet.
pretty much, yeah.
Hey, let me get a picture with Nixon. Oh, so is it just me, or, and again, this is Power Rangers, you know, obviously it's a production and they have a studio. They probably have access to costumes. Was it just me, or were all the costumes that they were wearing at that party, like all the extras, they looked like, you know, the bargain bin at Park and City costumes to me?
Doesn't really matter.
I guess not. Like,
I mean, Billy had a convincing Sherlock Holmes, and Kimberly looked really nice in that dress.
I just wish that his pipe had like blown bubbles.
But I mean, it's not that it wasn't that big of a deal. Like,
it wasn't.
Like, Zach looked good as an Egyptian, and I forget what Jason did.
He was, like I said, he was dressed like he was going to the Ren Faire or something.
No, that was Kim.
Well, Kim was dressed like a princess, but then Jason was wearing the, like, armor.
Oh, he was wearing like the Robin Hood garb.
like Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I forget what Trini was wearing.
Well, I think Prince of Thieves had just come out like a year or two beforehand, so it makes sense that that would happen.
Yeah. And then Bulk technically did do a Robin Hood when they're doing the costume trying on.
That is true. But he was like, I'm not wearing spangly tights.
Which we'll get to that on a future episode because, yeah. Well, about that.
Now, the Franken monster, obviously they brought over bits and pieces, or they just recreated that costume for like the American scenes. The hair in the American scene was god awful. Like, it was like a mullet. It was bad. It was,
well,
it was,
well, keep in mind, mullets were the thing in the 90s.
That's fair. Yeah, and I knew a lot of people back in the day that had mullets and like rat tails and stuff like that, but geez. Oh yeah, I didn't get this part too, by the way. Like, their Bulk and Skull are trying on costumes and Bulk faints as like, you know, old Elvis, and then like the Franken monster goes by their window and then they cut, and like we never get anything more of that. I didn't get it. I don't get why that happened in that scene. Like, I guess they wanted to remind you, hey, guess what? That thing is still there.
Yeah. I think it was just establishing that it was going, that it was trying to find the Rangers. I think that was more of just an establishing shot of it looking for the Rangers. It sees these two clowns. Fair. And then, you know.
It could have been executed a little better. Like, even like if it had just been a separate shot, sure. Like, but whatever. That's just me nitpicking at this point. I'm really just nitpicking. I was like, that scene doesn't make all that much sense to me.
It's okay. You don't make a lot of sense either. But we move on anyways.
I appreciate you dealing with me like that. Did we ever find out what's up with the Super Putty, by the way?
We find out in the next episode.
Okay.
Which is ironically, like, obviously, which is ironically why I think on the DVD version it puts Gung Ho next, because I actually mentioned a couple things. Like, here's the thing: if this was one of our three episodes, we'd be talking more about it. But because of how we have things lined up and to what we're building to, that's why we're only doing two episodes right now, but we will be doing we will be covering three episodes in one episode in the near future.
Sounds good.
But yeah, but because there's a kind of a flaw in Gung Ho, which actually makes sense as to why it's second to Life's a Masquerade on the DVD, because apparently, and again we'll talk more about this, apparently Gung Ho was released an episode early when it should have been released an episode later.
Gotcha. Well, I hope I can be forgiven for this, but like, I was watching that and I was hearing about the Super Putty and I was like, it's way too early for Zed to be showing up with his putties. So I forgot what the Super Putty even was. So
essentially and we could talk about this. Essentially, the Super Putty had like meteor arms, and had like the weapon or like the ball fist and stuff like that.
Okay.
The Super Ball. Yeah, that's what the Super Putty was. And they're just also stronger than the regular putty.
Okay.
So it wasn't anything uber massive. But like, going on with your notes.
Okay, so let's see here. So, by the way, one of the things I really, really loved was because this Frankenstein's monster, because obviously Frankenstein is, you know, the doctor. He's not, you know, the monster. We're talking about Frankenstein's monster here. The Frankenstein's monster, what the hell's the name of this thing?
Franken monster, whatever. Just go with that.
Franken monster. Okay, Franken monster. So this thing, and forgive me for not exactly being 100% on the name, has got one of the coolest ways to attack ever, because he like pulls his bolts out of his neck and they're like attached by chains, and he can like whirl them around like, you know, nunchucks and stuff, and like throw them at the Zords and throw them at the Rangers and stuff. I was like, that's cool. Like, this is this is why I'm watching, is because of stuff like this. I thought that was a really cool, like, monster design. And it's a shame that we didn't see more of that, because I feel like they could have done some really, really, really interesting stuff with that. Like, I think there was a point where, like, he, like, takes him and throws him at Megazord. But I'm like, it would have been really cool if he had, like, lassoed up the Megazord and, like, tossed it around or something. But whatever. Was this an episode where Tommy was kind of on the sidelines again as well? I'm trying to recall that.
Yeah, he is. Actually, this is one where Tommy didn't fight at all, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, he morphs into action on this one.
Okay, that's good.
So he does, because what's happening is that while the Rangers are fighting the Franken monster, he's fighting putties outside the youth center.
Right, and then he morphs, and then
yeah,
we once again, for like three times in a row, we get the Mega Dragon Sword.
Yeah.
Which so, I thought it was kind of interesting. In the last two episodes, we see all five Rangers, you know, in the cockpit, but in the first episode, we only see, you know, yellow, black, and blue.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think it also depends on the iteration of the what they're using the Dragon Zord for, because when they have it in Dragon Zord battle mode, it only uses the yellow, blue, and black Rangers
right.
swords. So it really depends on that. Any other notes?
I just thought it was again, this is one of the few episodes where I thought Bulkham's skull really shined in the episode, and I think they almost like outshined the Rangers, but then also like I thought the monster was really creative as well. And I really, really loved again just how the monster fought. Like that was, for me, that was worth the price of admission.
Yep. So with that, Life's a Masquerade clocked in at 20 minutes and 16 seconds with an IMDb score of a 5.7. A silence 5. Hits 7? The crowd. Yeah, 5.7 is what Life's a Masquerade got. It did not fare well in the ratings. So, with that... And so with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek, where I post updates on the show that I do, which is also called OneDrunkGeek, where I've worked on the 100 craft beers that you need to try before you die. I'm also on castwavestudios.com. You can see me on BGN Weekly. We've done many episodes over the past 10 years, so please give that a look. And yeah, you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. I post photos and stuff and, you know, cosplay stuff. So,
all right. And you can follow me on the Twitters at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions. And of course, everything for me is on the website at TXHTHockey.com. And for the show specifically, which is VFTG, which is the call letters for Voices from the Grid. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
So until next time, grab your morphers.
And may the power protect you.